All right, reading from Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 on, the Bible says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I got that underlined in my Bible. It's been underlined for many, many years. If you have your Bible open, you can just underline that right there. It's a good part. Can I get a witness on that? Paul tells us why. He says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him for everyone. You can underline that one too. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, thick in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bind every distraction. Lord, I pray that there are those coming in here this morning just playing games with you. Lord, I pray your truth would just come through this morning. You would guide and direct us, Lord. We will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. God is good. God gives us all kinds of good things that we can understand him. One of those things is indeed Monopoly. Yes. You're going, where is he going with this? Well, Monopoly is a rather complicated game. Anybody never played Monopoly? Wow, we're going to have a Monopoly fest to get these people trained up. It is a rather complicated game. How long does it take to play? A couple hours, right? 2-3 hours, man. It takes a while. And my wife is big into family games, much more so than I am. It could come right back to Monopoly. I remember we were teaching our children. I don't remember how old they were. Maybe Leanne was 7, maybe 8. Joe is maybe 6. Could have been a year or two younger. And we put the game out. And you know, I'm not big on losing to show your kids how to win. Okay? Let's just put it right out there. All right? And so I'm playing. And I'm just playing by the rules. And then I start winning. Is it a 4-year-old? No, it was my wife. It was my wife that I was beating. And then my children. Now, my wife says that my son was 4, maybe 5. They start giving money to their mom. Here, mom, we don't want you to lose. And realistically, they just didn't want me to win. And it's just not fair. 3-on-1. Cheating. To make mom happy. We're in a series called Engage. Engaging in the plan of God. Engaging in the life of God. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us that you have, every person here has a place in the plan of God. Has a position that he has indeed opened the door and the thickness of Romans, the depth of theology shows us how to stay on track with the plan of God. Because it is indeed easy to get off track of the plan of God. Because there are rules. There is a sequence. There is a process. Paul tells us how you can be saved. By very definition, that means that there are some who are not saved. That some who have yet to be saved. And if you take it a step further, there are those who will not be saved. And he says, let me tell you how you do it. It involves your heart. It involves your mouth. This is what you do. There is a process. There are rules. So as we go through these rules, I wanted to come up with a way to convey God's truth to you this morning. And I struggled with the title of this message, The God Game. Now, I struggle with it because I didn't want you to think that there was any luck or chance or cheating that was involved in the plan of God. So I grabbed onto this title because I wanted to convey rules and sequence and process. I hope that's okay with you. Nobody's walked out yet. I'll try to put Roki at the door so nobody will walk out. But we're talking about the plan of God is more than just fun. But like a game, there are winners and there are losers. There are some of us in this room who will win, who will be saved. There are some of us who will lose and not be saved. But you can only win if you play. And you can only win in the game of God if you are playing by God's rules. Paul gives us the path to winning, the path to victory. He says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Pretty simple, but yet there are those that are missing it. In this room, there are those that are missing it, that God has reached out to you your whole life. He says back in Romans chapter 1, for since the creation of the world, that happened before many of you were even born. Everybody was born. See, eternity past, God has been reaching out with a message. What kind of message? A message of God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. Now, there is a bunch that's there and there, right? You look at the stars, you look at the ocean, you look at all the beauty that is in this world, the complexity and how it works together. God gives us this complexity. I mean, he could have made the whole planet out of concrete. Amen? He could have gave us white Wonder Bread to eat. That was it. Concrete and Wonder Bread. What a terrible life. Can I get a witness? I know some of you might love Wonder Bread. I'm sorry about that. But God gives us not all, but shows us his power and complexity and all these things. He says his divine nature, his eternal power, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And the Bible tells us, Paul tells us, there are still those who would exchange the truth of God for a lie. There are those that are in this room today that have become aware of the truth of God and said, no, I think I'll do it different. I think I'll play my own game. And I think God will be just fine with that. Maybe you have heard before, it doesn't matter what game you're playing, just so long as you're playing. God just looks for genuineness. Well, I'm sorry to say that God has a process and a sequence. God has rules. That if you're heading in the wrong direction, you won't get to the place that you want to be. You will get to where you were appointed. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul doesn't want anybody lost on the way home. Today we come to the God game. Anyone can play. Everyone can win. But not everyone will win. I hope you win. But to win in the God game, you have to play by God's rules.
That's right.
Amen? All right, let's take a look. Rolling back to chapter 9, last three verses of chapter 9. And this is technical to a degree. Last week we had Amran come, missionary to the Middle East. Awesome. 2 weeks ago, probably one of the most complex messages I've preached here in 5 years. All right, here we go. What then shall we say? Because righteousness is what we're talking about. You might not be aware of what righteousness is. We're going to talk about that today. Paul says, what then shall we say? Say about what? Say about righteousness. That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. A righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, we're talking about the Jews here, Israel who pursued a law of righteousness has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not the right way. You see, now we're getting into the God game and God's rules, and it does not matter so much what you are pursuing as how you go about getting there. Are you tracking with me? Let me just continue reading. He says, why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. Their target was good. Their path was wrong. And Jesus came to tell them, you're on the wrong path. Paul told them they're on the wrong path. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah came and said, you're on the wrong path. And they said, let's just get rid of these guys. They put Jesus on a cross. They put away Isaiah and the major prophets. They weren't listening. They didn't want to hear. Can I get a witness? And they tried to kill Paul over and over again. Why? They didn't like the message. As it is written, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There are some who get the prize. Righteousness. We're talking about righteousness is holiness. Righteousness is doing right. Righteousness is doing good. All right? Now, the Jews are trying to do right, and the Gentiles are not even thinking about it. And yet, they have received a righteousness. And you would think, wait a minute, if righteousness is doing good, don't I have to do it? How can I just get it? And that's one of the rules in the God game, that you can't make your own righteousness. You have to get it from heaven. The Jews were trying to make theirs. They weren't getting it done. Paul tells us the only righteousness that is good enough for in the God game is righteousness that comes from God. Okay? And you go, wait a minute. What? Realistically, why do I need righteousness? Well, righteousness gets you to heaven. Heaven's righteousness is the ticket you need to get to heaven. And the only place you can get heaven's righteousness is from heaven. And you have to ask for it. You have to say, Lord, I need righteousness because mine is not good enough. Amen. It's like playing the game and you play over and over and over and you just come to this point, I just can't win. And that's the right conclusion. See, to win in the God game, you have to play by God's rules. You have to get God's righteousness, and you have to realize that your own righteousness is not good enough to get. You see, all roads, you can write this down, all roads lead to hell. But heaven's righteousness will put you on a different path. You have to ask for it, though. Let's continue going. Brothers, my heart's desire. This is Paul writing to his brothers. Brothers are those who are saved, those who are Christians, those who have asked God for righteousness, those who have asked God for the righteousness of Christ to be applied to them. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for the Israelites. It's for the Jews. They have not done that. They have rejected Christ. They have rejected God's righteousness. Why? He says they are for the Israelites that they might be saved, for I can testify that they are zealous for God. Oh, they so want heaven. They are working so hard. They are zealous. He says, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. They're not playing the right game. They're not playing by the right rules. So they're putting all this effort in, but they're wasting their effort. And even more than that is they don't realize it. They'd be working like crazy trying to do this and obtain heaven, thinking that they're on their way and they're going to get to the finish line. And he's going to say, I never knew you. I mean, that's the worst lie of all, to think you got the truth. It's one thing you hear all these people saying, hey, I don't need heaven. You ain't getting it. But so many people are saying, I got heaven. And they don't. And so they're not looking for a new direction. And that is why God is looking to get the word out. Amen? Their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. There's some who are going to get the prize. There's some who want the prize and aren't going to get it. The Jews want it. They want it really bad. They want it so bad they're making up their own rules. It's like my kids. They're cheating so that their mom can win. There's nothing that you can do to get your mom into heaven. Only one way to get to heaven. You've got to play by God's rules. You've got to ask Him for His righteousness be applied to you. You do it with your mouth. You do it in your heart. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. God has sent messengers to His people. He sent our Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected Him. Prophet Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, you know, when the Lord says, I think you got to underline that part. You know, Lord speaking, you know, it's like the Lord says to George Viorini. It's like, I'm listening. Especially if my name is George Viorini, right? It says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Is that a message you want to get from God? I mean, if you get that message from your wife, I got to think bad stuff is coming afterward. Amen. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend starts off a letter to you like that. Bad things are following. He says, their worship of me is made up of rules taught by men. Prophet Isaiah says, you are on the wrong road. You're working hard. You're doing all this stuff, but you are headed in the wrong direction. You will not get to where you are going. And they just said, we're going to find somebody else to listen to. Somebody who likes our rules. You can be playing a game, but to win the God game, you got to play by God's rules. Amen? Jews want to make their own righteousness. Jesus comes to get them on track, says, you're not making them. Making it, you're not good enough. And they hated Him for it. They stumbled over Him, that stumbling block. Part of the God game is surrender. You come to that point in your life, I've come there 25 years ago. I'm not making it, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I surrender my life to You. And He says, hey, winner. Part of the God game, much of the God game is complete surrender. Jesus says, Lisa mentioned it earlier, says, you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. Not now, but later on. You'll lose it on Judgment Day. So you lose your life now for Me, you'll find it, you will gain it. Play the game of God, you realize that you just can't win on your own. That's a starting point. I don't know how many of you know what this is, but this is indeed Great America. And in Northern California, where I grew up, Great America was the closest, well, Fresno. I guess you could go to Six Flags, Magic Mountain, or Disneyland, or Knott's Berry Farm. But Great America was close. It was in San Jose. And realistically, and I know I'm really old, but back in the day, not to some, but to many. Back in the day, Great America was the only one that you could pay one money on the way in and ride any ride as many times as you want. And so, you know, I'm like 12 years old, 11 years old, thinking, woo, man, let's go. And so we get in there, and you can't, you can ride every ride. Well, now all the parks are like that, but back then. So, you know, and they got, this is a new picture, but they got, you know, the big roller coaster there, and they got the big giant roller coaster, and they got the other roller coaster and all that stuff, and you're just, look at it all, and you're coming in the park, and they got a they got this big roller coaster right there. And we're riding it and riding it, riding it, and there's this other one right next to it. It's like the two big, giant roller coaster kind of things in the whole park. And we go, let's go to that one, and it's just like right there. And we run over there, and you can't get there from here. They crafted the park so that you had to go around the whole park. All the way up, all the way back, so that you spent your time not in line, but running across the park to get from ride to ride to ride. And it was such a ripoff. It was 100 feet away. You had to walk, you know, 3/4 of a mile to get there. And when you're 12, you just don't get it. You say, this is a ripoff. I can't get there. So much of our lives are intended to point us to the fact that we can't get there. You say, Lord, I can't get there. And he says, right, I'll take you there. That's the God game. That's how you win. Amen? All right, let's keep going. The picture of perfection, Jesus changes everything. We go to the beginning, or well, to the mid part of, well, chapter 4 anyway. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone. And what is righteousness good for? Righteousness gets you into heaven. Amen? God's righteousness. He says there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses described it in this way. The righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. Let me try that one more time. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. That's the Old Testament stuff. The man who does these things will live by them. Now, Jesus changed everything. How? Because it says Christ is the end of the law. I say, wait a minute. God just change up? That sounds kind of like cheating. Just take away the rules and make new rules. Like what my kids were doing with my wife. They're ripping me off. I mean, what if you died, you know, a year before Christ? Crucified. Man, I'm ripped off here. It says, look, Jesus talking. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. All right? And what Christ, there's one person who fulfilled the law, the Lord Jesus Christ. He led a perfect life. He led a sinless life. And the response of the people around him was, let's kill this guy. Hardly the response you'd think he was looking for. Amen? Now, he lived a perfect life so he could die a perfect death. And if anybody should have got that, it should have been the Jews. Because every day there was sacrifice going on in the temple. They would bring an animal. They would cut the blood. They'd put the blood on the altar. And there would be atonement. There would be a payment for sin that was made on behalf of the sinner by the priests. And Jesus led a sinless life so that the blood that he shed on the cross could be applied to the lives of any who would ask. You must ask how? With faith. You must believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. Amen. How does that work? Because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And if anybody should have got it, the Jews should have got it. But they rejected him over and over again. Let's continue going on. The request is a two-stage process. And this is what we read. What does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
You believe in your heart. Two-stage process. Gets right down into your core that God, that the Father raised his Son from the dead. There is a miraculous, supernatural power that God released that was manifested in Jesus as he was raised from the dead. And this act of the Father in heaven validates and verifies the message and life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yes, everything he said was true. Everything he said was representing me. I verify that by raising him from the dead and giving him the name that is above every name, that he waits with his feet up, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Amen?
Amen.
That's the God game. That God saw that nobody was finishing, so he finished the game for us. And then he says, I'll give you my place because I died for you. The only way you finish is to ask God for his position. Amen? Anybody can win, but not everybody will win. Anybody can win, but you gotta ask. And you gotta give up your token, your position in the game. You say, Lord, I surrender my position so I can get yours. Complete surrender gives you complete victory. Amen? The request is a two-stage process. That's how you can win. Once you're winning, you got to confess it with your mouth. You got to tell somebody. Why? Because everything works in the God game. You came into the game not realizing that you couldn't win. Now you got the answer. Now you know how it works. You're supposed to tell some people. Amen? There are some people that are around you who need to know. Jesus puts it this way. It says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But, he says, but whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Now, what does that sound like? Sounds like consequences. Sounds like rules. See, in the God game, not everybody wins. Everybody can win. But there are some who think that they can get there on their own. And if you're trying to get there on your own, Jesus turns to his Father in heaven and says, he's not with me. He's on his own. Fine, let's see how far he gets. And if you don't make it to the finish line, all roads are headed to hell.
Amen?
Amen? I hope you're on the right road. I hope you're playing by the right rules. I hope you got an accurate picture of our Lord Jesus Christ in your mind. This is open to anybody, Jew or Gentile. Don't matter where you came from. It matters who you're asking, who you're targeting. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone can do it in the God game. Amen? Last night, Lisa and her mom came home from up north of L.A. in Valencia. They went to a meeting. And they got home, I was about out of it, 8:30. I was working on the message. And my wonderful wife gets out of her car and says, hello, family. Hello, family. We're home, and we could use a little bit of help unloading the car. Family. And Joe and JJ are in the back playing video games. And that message hitting nobody, hitting the house and bouncing off, right? See, you can't just call on anyone. You got to have an accurate target, somebody who is listening, somebody who's paying attention. Now, I said, Joe, JJ, Lisa's out in front. She needs some help. Huh? Huh? And then I said the magic words. Put that game on pause right now and go out there and grab that stuff. Okay, okay, okay. Because they know next, the game will be turned off. Oh, and bad times come. But see, anybody can win. What? They're going to win by putting that thing on pause, go help them their mom for a little bit, come back, and they can start playing some more. You call on the name of the Lord. Get an accurate picture of who He is. You believe in your heart that the Father raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. Amen. You win. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Here we go. Anyone can win. There is a need for messengers. How then can they, who's they, these lost Jews, these lost Gentiles, anybody who's not in the game, anybody who's not winning the game, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? We don't even know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, God's looking for more players. People sitting on the sidelines. People playing the wrong game. And He is looking for some people that are in the game, winning the game, to bring in some more people. Because more people winning doesn't threaten your victory. Amen? It just makes it a bigger party at the end. Bible tells us that one person gets saved. We got all the angels just celebrating up there in heaven going, all right, we got another winner. Kind of, no, I'm going to go over there. God's looking for more players. You got people around you playing the wrong game. Not in the game. Maybe you're here today, you're playing the wrong game. See, you win in the God game, you got to play by God's rules. You got to be in to win. Everything works together. See, there's people who need to hear, and we got to confess with our mouths. It's a combo pack. God doesn't waste anything. Everything works for the good who are called, right? According to His name, called according to His purpose. Now, we're really targeting two kinds of people. Targeting people who got no clue. You got people around you not caring one bit about the Lord Jesus Christ? Their last thought of Christ or church or anything was like 20 years ago on Easter or confirmation or baptism or something. Just one person, just Sandra, that's it. You don't know anybody else. You're just not even thinking about God, right? See, because the Gentiles around Paul, they weren't thinking about God. They weren't worried about, I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ is truly the Savior. No, they did not care one bit. They were lost in sex and drugs and alcohol and hedonism and greed and all kinds of stuff. And you got people around you that are lost, sex and greed and anger and resentment and bitterness and gambling and you name it. We got a bunch of lost folks around us, amen? Not even thinking about the God game. You're supposed to bring a message to them. You're supposed to let them know, hey, you know, there is not a strong message going out that all roads lead to hell. There's a bunch of messages going out. There's no such thing as hell. There's a lot of messages going out. A good and kind and loving God isn't going to send anyone to hell. It's like, well, have you read His book? The good and kind and loving God wrote a book. He said, look, I'm going to show you how to escape hell. But it's not an automatic escape. Everybody can win the game, but not everybody will win the game. Amen? In fact, Jesus said, you want to know the ratio? He says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the pathway. And just a couple people, just a few people. I hope you're on it today. But if you're on it, grab somebody by the hand and show them how to get in. Amen? Now, second kind of people that we're working on. Those are the ones playing the wrong game. And Paul is talking about the Jews. Now, you know, the Jews, they don't get so much press today. I mean, you know who gets pressed today? Muslims get pressed today. I'll tell you what, they're playing the game, they got the wrong rules. Can I get a witness on that? Had this guy shoot up the Canadian Parliament or whatever on Thursday. You know what he's told? He's told that if you get killed in the midst of jihad, you go immediately. Do not stop at, stop at jail, whatever. Go directly to paradise. And you'll have 70 Celestian virgins just taking care of you. Now, guess what? That's the wrong game. Wrong rules, man. Paradise is not where these guys are headed. Now what? There's all kinds of other people like that. Jehovah's Witnesses. Your Mormons. Your apostolics. Your oneness. All kinds of people. Jews. I mean, I got all kinds of love for the Jews, man. All these people got the wrong set. I mean, take a look at all the Somalians. You take a look at the guys walking around in the... mustard-colored robes, you know, with the little pots all the time. You know, the monks, there you go. They got, and you look at the temples around here, like on the residential streets with the big old, what do you call them? Buddha. The Buddha's up there on the street. You got female, you got all kinds of weird Buddhas, man. And you know what? They got the wrong rules. But they think they got the right ones. They think they got, I'm going to heaven. Oh, yeah, look at these rules I got. And you got to have enough love in your heart to say those are the wrong rules, man. Those are the hell rules. Oh, I'm not going. You got all kinds of different roads headed to hell. God is looking for some messengers with enough love for the Lord and enough love for the people around them. You got to go looking. You don't got to go looking. You're just like, I'm going to go. God calls you to Baghdad. You can go to Amran. She knows the way, okay? If not, you got some people right near you that you know, maybe living in your house, that are either not playing the game or playing the wrong game, and you got to be a messenger for the Lord so that those people can find truth. Can I get a witness on that? All right. Sorry, I'm going off. All right. Now, I don't know if you can see, but me and my brother, my little baby brother, Tom, two or three years younger than me, we got this thing. He sends me shoes. He sends me his old shoes. And he sent me these shoes and some brown shoes like this, and they came in the mail, and I opened them up, and Joe saw them in the box. He goes, "Whose shoes are those, man?" I said, "Those are my shoes." He said, "Where'd you get them?" I said, "Uncle Tom sent them to me." He goes, "Man, Mr. Aaron would wear those shoes. Those are some shoes, man." I said, "Yeah, you know." Now those are actually wingtips. Those are not like those. I just needed a picture of some shoes up there. But you know what? It's like, hey, you know what? We want to be looking good. Amen? You know, especially women. They like to be looking good, put on some fancy shoes. And you know what? Some women's shoes are just over the top, you know? It's like, man, don't even look like shoes. But Word of God says, you want your feet looking good, you start bringing the message. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You want to have some good-looking feet? You don't got to go to the shoe store. You take that person who's not playing the game. You take that person who's next to you, right next to you, and you show them that they're playing by the wrong rules. I sat down with a guy yesterday. Complicated theology discussion. He's on the wrong path. Take a minute. You might not be smart enough to make it work. Get smart enough. Do a little study. Not one amen on that? Amen. Thank you for that. Why? Because you want to have some good-looking feet. That's why. All right. Here we go. Let me see. How do I turn this thing back on? There we go. All right. End this up with, there's some who just don't get it. Some who just don't get it. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course. Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. According to Scripture, talking about how there was the message of truth, the message of correction that had come to the Israelites. Again, I ask, did they not understand? Was the message brought in such a way that they could not comprehend it? He says, first Moses says, I will make you envious. I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, concerning the Jews, he says, all day long I have held my hands out to a disobedient and obstinate people. God's trying to get the word out, message out, looking for messengers. He has poured out his spirit on the Gentiles to make Israel envious of them and to make Israel angry with them. Why do they got it and we don't? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. He'll pour out his spirit on you to give a message to those around you. Sometimes it's blessings. How come they got all that stuff? Envious. I want what you've got. Amen? Maybe you've noticed that. Maybe that's how you came to Christ. You said, man, whatever that person's got, I want that. That's envious. I'm envious. That can be you. You begin, you know, and realistically, you start working the things of Christ out in your life. Be an attractive Christian. You know, not bitter, not resent, whatever. It's like glue. It's like honey. Be attracted to you. Maybe some of you I know who have got this. You got people around you just flat out mad at you. Why are you different? What makes you think you're so good? Can I get a witness on that? Amen. See, and that's what Isaiah said about what was happening with the Gentiles that Paul quotes. He says, hey, man, there is envy and there is anger that is happening around the people of God that caused the people that are not of God, that are not playing the game, to notice. God will use you. Are you ready? Are you ready to be in the game and to be a player that helps those around him? Player that helps those around her? Because to win in the God game, you got to play by God's rules. Amen? Amen? I don't know who's playing guitar for me tonight, or today, if somebody would come up as we get done. I don't know where you're at today. I know where many of you are at. But I'm wondering, are you in the game? Are you playing by the rules? Do you even... I mean, maybe you come in here today and you go, well, I didn't know there was no rules. I thought I came to church once a week, maybe twice a month. And I'm good, man. I know so many people, they're not even trying. Yeah. To win, you got to call on the name of the Lord. There's an understanding. Lord, I'm going to let you be boss. I'm going to make you boss of my life. I'll follow you. I know you're calling me some challenging things or some people around me. If I do this, they're going to be angry. Jesus says they hung me on a cross and I hung there for you. Challenges will come your way. I want you to pass through. I want you to overcome and I want you to win in my game. I'll show you how to play. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been playing the wrong game. Said, I think I make it halfway on my own, and halfway is going to be good enough. I just want to let you right now pray the Holy Spirit just confirming that halfway is not good enough. Halfway gets you to hell. Amen? Halfway, 95% gets you to hell. I'll let you know, you ain't even close to 95 without the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you are here this morning, and I pray that the Lord has just put somebody on your heart. You got some people that are lost, that are all around you. And you just been kind of letting them roll. They're on their own game, man. I'm just going to let them go. And God says, no, no, no. You pick one. I would pray right now the Holy Spirit is just putting that one person's picture right in your mind. He says, I'm calling you to that person. You are going to be my missionary to that person. I've got you in the game right now for that one person. And I'm going to infuse you with enough anointing from the Holy Spirit that if you grab on, you can overcome every obstacle. I will make you invincible as you pursue that person until they give you a yes or they give you a no. Because they're telling me yes or they're telling me no, and I'm going to use you to deliver that message. Lord, I pray right now across this place, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is doing a work, Lord, that there is names, there is pictures, Lord. There is a call that is going out for those that are lost, for those who don't even care, those that are on the wrong path, that there is a message that is coming to them from you for some people with some pretty good-looking feet that are bringing some good news, that anybody's got a chance to win. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling a little Jewish this morning, that you've been trying to play by your own rules and you've been trying to make your own way and you've been thinking that you're doing pretty good. And the Holy Spirit right now is saying you're not even close. The only way you're going to win, if you call out to me, say, Lord, I'm done. Here's my game piece. I'll turn it in. I want to play with you. Come rescue me, Lord. Nobody looking around this morning, but you're here. And the Holy Spirit is just on you saying, you know what? I love you. And I want to guide and direct you, but you're just off track. And you need to get on track. And I'll guide you and direct. Put some people next to you that'll help. Got some messengers right here in the room. We'll show you. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is just speaking to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, man, Lord, I turn in my peace. I turn in my game piece here, there, and there. Anybody else? Say, that's me. That's me. Right here, I see that hand. Over here, I see this hand. Up here, I see this hand. Anybody else? You can put your hand down as I see it. I see those two in the back. You put them down over there, yeah? Maybe it's time to change your footwear. And the Lord, you know for sure that the Lord has put a person on your heart that you're going to bring the news. You're going to say, Lord, I got it. I am your man. I am your woman. I am on track. Help me, guide me, direct me. I'll get some help. But Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to approach this person with your message. Nobody looking around, but the Lord has put a person on your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up. Here, 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 here. You're not putting your hand up. I want you to pray and ask that the Lord would give you direction that you could be that messenger for him. Amen? Amen.